something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
Wherever you are, whatever you speak, C-Tunes brings the gospel to you from English to Swahili, French to Arabic, Spanish to Hindi, Portuguese to Mandarin. The message of faith and salvation is breaking barriers. With C-Tunes, you gain access to over 250 leveled radio stations like Leveled Radio Iran, Leveled Radio Ukraine, Leveled Radio South Africa, Leveled Greece, and many more. Participate in every global ministry program in the language you best understand. Stay connected with motivational podcasts from our inspiring on-air personalities and enjoy music that uplifts, inspires, and energizes. Log on to www.ctunes.org or download the app from the Leveled App Store. For further inquiries, please call +234-813-180-9663.
This message is titled Christ Consciousness.
Hallelujah. We started the other Sunday a very important subject. What was it? Christ consciousness. And I said it's a very important subject because every Christian ought to be Christ conscious. Incidentally, not every Christian is Christ conscious. In fact, most Christians are not Christ conscious. Now, I'm not talking about the Christ consciousness that many people remind us of at Christmas time. When they say, this is Christmas time and everyone should be Christ conscious. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not Christ consciousness. That's Christmas consciousness. Hallelujah. But we are dealing with Christ consciousness, which is a function of your spirit. It's a function of the human spirit. It's a function of your soul. To live the victorious Christian life, you must be Christ conscious. This subject is so important because it helps us define authentic Christianity. It helps us understand what Christianity really is. It's not a religion. For most people in the world, Christianity is a nice religion started by the man named Jesus. But Christianity is not a religion. It is the life of God in a human being. Amen. Oh, this is beautiful. Just to think of it. Christ consciousness. The alertness, the awareness of my soul as it settles on Christ and his redeeming love, his redeeming work. And the result of his redemptive work. And I am the result. Let me explain. The very term, the very word redeem means to save by paying a price, to buy back, to deliver, as it were, by paying a ransom. That's what it is to be redeemed. But the Christian was not redeemed. Now many think they were, but they weren't. Hello? Okay, Jesus died for us. Yes, I know. Jesus paid the price of his own blood for us to be saved. Yes. But let me show you who the Christian is so you can understand. Hello? Oh, dear Lord Jesus. I hope I can get this thing across to you so you can really, really catch it. Okay. Let me take two. All right. I got two deacons here. You and you. Come. No. Let him come. Both of you. Come. Okay. So, they're almost the same size, right? So this will help me. Now, you don't have to look at each other now anyway. All right. Come. Now, let's. Hi. Let's assume. Okay, I know that he is light skinned and he is dark skinned, so let me take it the other way. Before you're going to say, so why did he pick the dark one for that particular example? All right, now let's assume. Jesus came into this world to save sinners, all right? And here is the man that Jesus seeks to save. He is the unredeemed man. He is the sinner needing salvation, all right? So Jesus has come. The man is a sinner. Jesus dies in his place on the cross to save this man. Now Jesus is dead and is buried. Because he died on the cross in this man's place, as far as God is concerned, this man has died on the cross because he died in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus paid for his sins, he paid the penalty, suffered the penalty of this man's sins. Therefore, this man has suffered for his sins in Jesus Christ. He has paid for his sins in Jesus Christ because Jesus took his place. It is called the doctrine of substitution. Do you understand? So, Jesus has bought this man's salvation. So Jesus is dead. He's in the grave. So this man is free. So he's free. Can you see it? So he has been redeemed. You see that? He has been redeemed from the hands of Satan. Jesus is in the grave. The man is free. He's redeemed. Jesus is in the grave now. He goes to hell. The Bible tells us he descended into hell. For what? He was taken as a prisoner. He's the sinner. He's in place of the sinner, even though he committed no sin. But he must go to the regions of the damned. Where this man was supposed to go, Jesus must now go. So he went to hell as a prisoner, as the damned. But in hell, he took over. You see that? Because this man's sin has been atoned for, has been paid for. God accepts it. The man is free. But Satan, who's the rebel holder of authority, must now face Jesus in a combat. So Jesus is in hell. The Bible says he threw off from himself principalities and powers and made public spectacle of them. He defeated them, Satan and the cohorts of hell, all the demons in hell. Somebody has said, and I believe, that maybe that was one time in the history of the world that nobody was demon possessed, because Satan needed all the reinforcement he could get. And so all the demons were in hell grappling with Jesus. But he put them off of himself and rendered them helpless. The Bible says he defeated Satan and took the keys of hell and of death. Well, the third day, Jesus came back to life in the world. He resurrected. Now, at the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible says, God declared, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Meaning, Jesus was born again by the resurrection from the dead. He came from the regions of the damned, came alive. Nobody ever came from there free. Jesus was the first begotten of the dead. He came back from there alive, free, free of satanic bondage. He came. Now, what happens to this man? Jesus says, now before this time, before Jesus says anything to him, he goes to heaven from the garden, according to the Bible. Jesus ascended from the garden where Mary came to look for him. You remember? He ascended to heaven to present his blood as the sacrifice for our sins. Now he is the high priest of our confession. His blood is accepted. He has become the high priest. So he goes back to the world and arrives in Galilee and shows himself to his disciples. And he says to them, "All hail." And they are happy to see him. Then he says to them, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Now anybody who believes in me has eternal life." Guess what? So he is now the author of life. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto him. Now this man was redeemed so he could have the right to partake of this eternal life that has now been made available. If he will believe now, because he has been redeemed, he can receive eternal life. And he says, "I believe." Forthwith, he is born again. He is no longer the redeemed. He has become a new creation. Can you see it now? He was redeemed by the death of Jesus. But he was born again by the resurrection of Jesus. Can you see it? Now, just for the records, who was redeemed? Not the Christians, the whole world. The Bible says he died for everybody. So when you say the redeemed, who has been redeemed? The whole world. So anybody in the world who believes in Jesus, that he died for him and was buried for him and now has come back to life for him, receives eternal life. So the work didn't stop at redemption. It was consummated at the new birth. Come on, somebody. Now, the misunderstanding of that simple fact is what has made thousands and thousands of Christians to walk at a lower level than real Christianity. They don't know who they are. Thank you. God bless you. Are you still there? Hold on. I'm not through with you yet. Now, you have the new man, okay? Born again. So what is he going to do? What is God's dream? What is God's purpose? What is his dream? What is God's plan? What does God see? You see, our aim in life, our vision in life, should be to fulfill God's dream, to become what God planned for us to be, what he wanted us to be all the time. It is possible, but we've got to chart our course through the Word. Hallelujah. God's dream is to make every Christian, like the one we had just now, born again, come to the place of manhood. Not to just be born again and be a child, but to become a full-grown man in the things of the Spirit. You know, Paul said something in Galatians, the 4th chapter. He said, when I was a child, the motions, he says, I was in bondage to the elements of the world as a child. I was in bondage to the elements of the world. That tells us something, that we are not supposed to be in bondage to the elements of the world. But spiritual children are in bondage to the elements of the world. They are controlled by the forces of nature, over which they believe they have no power. But look at Jesus. He's in the boat. Water is coming into the boat. His disciples are with him. And Jesus is sleeping at the rear. And then they rush to him because they feel they're going to drown. These were fishermen. They could swim. But they were too deep in the sea now to expect to swim out. And the waves were too high. The roaring waves, the raging waves were coming. It was windy. It was terrible, frightening. They cried out for their lives. And woke Jesus up and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Oh, what manner of man is this? Jesus woke up before ever talking to the winds and the waves. He said, where is your faith? Why are you afraid? Look at it. He was telling them indirectly. You could have done something about it. He says, where is your faith? Why are you afraid? Where is your faith? In other words, why didn't you do something about it? Where is your faith? Then he turned to the waves. Peace! He said, calm down. Hush. The high waves just... He put them to sleep. The disciples looked at one another and said, what manner of man is this? The winds and the sea obey him. Hallelujah. Thank you. Growing up in Christ. So you can handle the elements of the world rather than being subject to the elements of the world. Growing in the things of God. Hallelujah. We're talking Christ consciousness. Who is Christ? Who is he? He's the Messiah, right? The Messiah, the anointed one. The one who's been anointed by the Spirit of God with the glory of God, with the presence of God, with the power of God. Who is the Christian? Somebody says, Christians are the followers of Jesus Christ. Wrong. Are you shocked? Not the followers of Jesus Christ. No. Christians have the nature of Christ. They have his nature. They are not mere followers. They have his nature. Christians are they have been transfused with the nature of God. They've been transformed. Are you still there? Transmuted into the very image of Christ. I've got something to show you. Maybe I should show it to you now. Christ consciousness, right? Are you still there? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Let me show you something from the Word. I love my Bible, do you? Yes. If you don't have a Bible here, I feel sorry for you. Just feel sorry for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read to you from verse 45. Oh, ho, 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 glory to God. Are you there? Okay. From verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, did you notice? The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He's talking about Jesus. He calls him the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam was made a living soul. You remember in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. That's what he's talking about. He gave him life. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a life-giving. Look at the difference. One was receiving. The other one was giving. Adam received life from God. Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, was made what? A life-giving spirit. No wonder it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Are you still there? All right. I read verse 45 again. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Okay, you get it? It says, the natural was what we saw first, okay? And after the natural, we saw the spiritual. So the natural Adam came, and then the spiritual Adam came. That's what he's talking about. All right. 47. The first man is of the earth. And the word is italicized, meaning that it wasn't in the original manuscript. So it could be the first man was of the earth. Earthy. He was earthy. And it says, the second man is the Lord from heaven. So he's called the last Adam or the second Adam. Okay, so we've seen those two terms used now. The first man is of the earth, or was of the earth, Eti. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, as was the Eti. Let me read what you got in the King James for a reason. Because of something I want to show you. That's very important. As is the Eti, such are they also that are Eti. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Are you getting it? He's saying there are two kinds of people. You got the Eti and the heavenly. Those who were born from Adam. Have you heard people say, I don't know that man from Adam? That means they are tracing their lineage from the first Adam. But when you're born again, you don't have a lineage from the first Adam. Your lineage is from the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Listen, this is so important. You've got to understand it. It's a fact of life. This is reality. This is truth.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.